Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Regardless of where you are right now, you're listening to episode 79 of the Player Player Podcast. Your weekly excuse to sit back, relax, and think about everything gaming. Every Thursday, your two favorite baby boys try to bring you a casual and candid discussion about the things we love and hate about video games. I'm your host, Joseph Hooper, a.k.a. The Hoop Man, along with my co-host, the man that needs to be returned in 3 days, or I'll incur a fee for him, Arsene Lokba.
Hey, I'm actually about to step out real quick. You can't, and you won't be able to catch me, okay? So, good luck with those fees, all right, man?
But will you be back within 3 days, though?
Absolutely not. You got to come find me.
Damn. That's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Don't you ever try and send me back.
Oh, I want to
stay here. I want to stay here. It's fun out here. I don't want to be in a box no more.
You're in a case, bro. You're not in a box.
That's what I meant. It's a case box.
I guess case and a box, the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
It's like a square rectangle thing.
I've heard some people call it X case instead of Xbox. So I think they are interchangeable.
Who told you that? I'm curious.
Phil Spencer himself, the CEO of X case.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. All right, guys. Let's just jump right into it. Let's not jump right into it. I have a quick first things first announcement. Go ahead. Give a quick congratulations to Blessing Jr. For his new position over at Kinda Funny. He's 2 days on the job. So far, so good. Go listen to Kinda Funny. They're great. Go support the man, Blessing Jr.
I tuned in today. I never listened to Kinda Funny.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you? I didn't tune in yet. Did you listen to Games Daily or?
Games Daily, yeah. I listened to at least the first 20 minutes, 25.
Okay. They did a show called PS I Love You, XOXO or whatever. I listened to that today. Pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good. But honestly, listen to this before you listen to anything they have to offer. Go listen to our backlog before you start. Exactly. Come on now. Just show us a little bit of respect. You know,
we're the experts on backlog. You know, we got some extensive backlog.
This is very true. Actually, we could probably have a whole podcast about gaming backlogs, but
next week.
Next week it'll be, you know, about gaming backlogs. That's not confirmed, but we'll see. But this week, I think you generally know what I'm going to talk to you about, but
you know,
I haven't fully versed you.
You left me in the dark, man.
Right. So I want to start out this conversation by talking about what I have coined the gaming oasis. All right. What I mean by gaming oasis is, I don't even know if we are on the same page about this, because we are. Like we did talk about, we're kind of different generations, but not really, but kind of. But when I was a kid, there wasn't YouTube. Really the only time you learned about games was, one, Game Informer magazine that came in every month. Kind of on the internet, but not really on the internet. Commercials and the Gaming Oasis, which I'm calling it, which is one of three or four stores, and those stores would be likely Walmart, because they had the little gaming displays, they had, you know, the electronic section, they had the controller sticking out the cases, you could play demos and whatnot. So there's Walmart.
Crane your neck back.
Yeah, injure your neck while you're looking up, because you're only 4 feet at this point, if that.
That's true.
You're just a wee child.
True.
So you got that. You got GameStop, of course, you know, a staple. Toys R Us, which, rest in peace. Back in the day, they were popping. And their video game section was akin to Walmart's, where they had the little demo station. But I feel like the presentation was on point. And finally, Blockbuster. Blockbuster was this, you know, relic of the past that, every couple weeks, I'd run in and, you know, my mom would take me, she's picking up DVDs, and I'm going through the gaming section. Every week they got new games in there. So it was my way of finding out about new games. So that's what I'm calling the gaming oasis. They don't exist anymore. And I want to talk about that a little bit later. But what was your, how did you find out about games back in the day? Like when you were like a kid, like unless you were literally on the internet when you were like 7, 8 or whatever, like looking up release trailers or whatever, like how were you finding out about games?
See, I had a feeling you were going to ask me this, and I was like struggling at first. But then you started mentioning these game oases. The oases? Is that the
OSI?
Word? I don't OSI? Know. OSI? Maybe. Dude, KSI? Anyways. don't bring him on the podcast. Anyways. Yeah, so I think like at least three of the four of those were my gaming oases. And that's where I kind of heard about games. Definitely Walmart, Toys R Us. A little bit of GameStop, didn't get to go in there as often, especially my younger days. But because like, you know, Walmart and Toys R Us were, I guess, the bit more the, I guess they were, I would say they were more popular just because they had more to them than just games. So my parents were more likely to take me to those places. And then I think the big well of information as well, I think would also come through like friends and stuff. You know, okay. Back in the day, you know, you got. The fellas will get around the table, we whip out our Game Boy SPs, and then like right. I see somebody's got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Battle Nexus 2, and I'm like, whoa, bro, like hold on a second. Then you know we swap games for a little bit, you know, just get that. That was my demo, right. Or I guess like my extended demo outside of like Walmart and stuff. So that's kind of where my game informer knowledge ends, because I did not have Game Informer growing up.
You didn't have so. Game like okay, well, sidebar, Game Informer, incredible. You know, this ties into the GameStop thing, because they literally pushed a subscription on you. Like whenever you pick up a game at GameStop back in the day, they were really pushing that Game Informer subscription on you. And you know, for whatever reason, my mom signed, like I remember she being like, I don't remember even signing up for this, but at some point, we just started getting Game Informer magazines, and hell to this yeah. day, at my parents' house,
no like, way.
Go back home, and I have maybe 30 magazines still.
Okay, 30 magazines. I thought you were about to say they're still getting them, like new.
No, copies. No, I don't believe they're even mailing them out anymore. I don't think Game Informer is still printing copies, but dude, yeah, like you know, sidebar to the gaming oasis, getting the copies of Game Informer, like I remember, I was. Like, this is crazy. I was reading, first of all, which is already insane. Like, I was getting these magazines. Like, first they had, you know, awesome imagery, which is awesome. But I would read these long, like, sit-down, first-hand impressions, like, articles. Where I remember I didn't ever have a PS3, but I remember reading the God of War 3, like, impressions. God of War was, like, the cover game that year, or that mm-hmm. month. And, like, they're breaking down, like, how Kratos is, like, climbing up this Titan's back, and like how the whoever's the editor or whoever's the what's the name of the journalist, I don't know,
editor
who wrote the article.
Yeah, that's definitely the author.
I mean, whoever authored the article, sure, was just like so amazed at this. And then they're ripping out snippets from conversations with the developers that they had at the interview. And I was just like, oh my God, this game sounds so amazing. And like, literally they're bringing the words to life in my head, which was super cool. And that shit does not exist anymore. Mm. It kind of does in the form of podcasts, I guess. And maybe some articles where, you know, a gaming journalists will go get a preview for a specific game. They'll come back. They'll talk about it on a podcast or whatever. But really, like, people aren't, like, it's all about video now. Like, you could tell me whatever the fuck you want about a game. Like, all these game journalists went to go play Last of Us 2, and they came back to talk about it. How much do you know about Last of Us 2?
Me?
Yes. Yes, you.
Oh. Wait, hold on a second. I think I got a little lost. Wait, say that one more time.
So I'm basically saying that, you know, this concept of like, oh, now like we're writing up exposés on mm-hmm. games and stuff like that doesn't really exist. And recently, a couple months ago, a lot of journalists went out to play Last of Us 2.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, obviously the goal was for them to all come back and talk about how great the game was, but and all the things that they did. But how much do you realistically know about Last of Us 2 at this point in terms of actual gameplay?
Not much, except for what I've seen in the trailers.
Right. Exactly. Not much except what you've seen, which is, you know, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just how technology has changed. But
it's the way it is. Think
just like reminiscing on those Game Informer magazines, like I even remember like BioShock Infinite. Like somebody went and played a demo of that, and I'm pretty sure I read a Game Informer magazine about BioShock Infinite. And I was just like, holy crap, dude, I can't wait to get my hands on this game, which is crazy. But back to the main topic here.
The meat and potatoes.
The meat and potatoes. Like, I guess it's all ties together in terms of, like, when you were a kid, like, there were very few outlets that exposed you to what was going on in the gaming industry and what was coming out, primarily because you are a fucking kid and you don't know where to look for these things, but also just because the internet wasn't as evolved as it is today. So my main thing, and I think I could honestly attribute Blockbuster for why I'm so into gaming today. Really, I could give Blockbuster a lot of credit, because Blockbuster had a fantastic concept at the time and a fantastic setup. For me as a kid, I don't know what it was like going there as an adult back in the day, but I loved it. So have you ever rented a game from Blockbuster? Do you ever even remember going into a Blockbuster, realistically?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think I only physically stepped foot in a Blockbuster once in my life.
Yeah.
Like only one single time. And that was, I don't even know what the purpose was. I think I was with my dad. I don't even know the context of the situation, but damn. I was there. And I was able to rent out one game, and that was Naruto Uzumaki Chronicles.
I swear to God, I might have also rented that game. Man. I might have also rented that game.
Yeah, I don't know.
No cap.
Yeah, I don't know why, but like, hey, I just thought, I like Naruto.
Right. And, you know, that's a part of it. Blockbuster, first of all, let me go ahead and set the scene. The scene that I remember as a kid.
Take us back.
Like, we always used to go to Blockbuster like on Friday nights, you know, and it was clockwork, right? Because they had you in their grasp, because it's like, you got to return the games, you got a week, or you got to return the movies or the games or whatever, and you got, you know, X amount of time. So, you know, by the time you got to return the last one, why don't you come in the store and rent another one? So like, I would always go with my mom to Blockbuster. We'd roll up. I always go to, and Blockbuster isn't even, like, they don't advertise their games like that. Like, it's about movies, Blockbuster Video. And for a company that, you know, doesn't really advertise it, their gaming section was on point. Like, you roll up, and they always had, you know, maybe three or four copies of whatever game you're trying to look for. And I didn't know what I was looking for. I'm just picking stuff based off of what their selection is and like, what the covers look like and all that stuff. So, like, there were so many games that I found in the Blockbuster that I would have never known about if it wasn't for just, like, randomly stumbling upon it. Some of the stuff I found from G4, which is another, you know.
Oh, yeah, I remember G4. A little G4? Bit. I think I was, like, right on the cusp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
G4 is crazy, dude. Maybe I'll talk about that in a future episode. But, like, yeah, like, a couple games that I legitimately remember. Beyblade. I forgot the name of the Beyblade, but I had this Beyblade game. I had this Beyblade game for GameCube, and I remember it because I rented it, and my friend was having a sleepover that night, and we got into a fight about like who was gonna play or something.
Oh no! Nah.
And then I went into my mom's room and cried, and that's it. And then she was like,
"I feel you, bro."
She was like, basically, all right, stop being a head ass, bro. Get your ass back out there and play the damn game. Got
Holy
my room.
Shit.
I was like, dang. So I got Beyblade. I remember I got Yu-Gi-Oh! Dawn of Destiny, which, like, I rented for the original Xbox, and I was just, I must have liked it or something, but that game was ass. Absolute ass. Yu-Gi-Oh! And that's a great thing about Blockbuster, where it's like, you pick up games, and it's like, oh, I didn't spend $60 on this, and I can. Right. I'm glad to know that it's boo-boo. Glover. I rented Glover.
No, you did not, bro.
I rented Glover for the Nintendo 64, and I did not understand how to play it. I could not get past you start the game, and you're in this little area. I couldn't go in. Like, I never progressed. 0% completion on Glover. 0%. So, like, And then there was like Tasmanian Tiger. You ever play that?
I know of it, but no.
Tie the Tasmanian Tiger, which is that game racist at this point? Like, what is this caricature of Australian people? You know what I'm saying?
He was a tiger, bro. What are you talking about?
Or was he a dingo? Oh yeah, I guess he was a tiger.
Bro, he was an animal, bro. What are you talking about? Racist?
But you know, he's like, you know, crocodile. I mean, I guess it's not.
Oh,
racist,
you're talking about like the accent, crocodile. Like him talking.
You know, he's a caricature. You know what I'm saying?
Could we release that
in 2020? I don't know.
Yeah, not in this political climate. No way.
Could they remaster that? I don't know. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But that game bopped. I think I have two copies of that game for some reason. I have two copies.
Or it bombed.
I don't know how it did, you know.
Oh, to you and
to professionally, but to me it was a hit.
Gotcha,
that game
was
fire. And like it's crazy. It was a crazy concept because like I rented it from Blockbuster. I played it for however long and then I bought the game. Like it was a legitimate advertising campaign back in the day, whereas like a lot of the games that I played in at Blockbuster, I ended up just like buying because, you know, you rent it for 7 days, you might as well pick it up. Like Blinks the Time Sweeper, got that game from Blockbuster. Sly Cooper, I never purchased it, but I rented it from Blockbuster. Mm. Mario Sunshine.
Ooh.
I never owned, only because of Blockbuster. Like Blockbuster really, it's like Xbox Game Pass of
the past, you
know, 20 years ago. Like,
yeah,
it really did expose me to a lot of games. And not only that, but the environment was super awesome where you have like, I mean, honestly, it's just a fucking library. It's not that exciting. But to me as a kid, like you go down the shelves and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they have this. I can't believe, like, oh, what the heck, they have this. And it was always this thing, I'm pretty sure, of like, they have like an empty case. That's the cover art, you know? And then behind the case, there was like the copies of the game. So it'd be like, you know, one or two Blockbuster cases with like the game in there. And it was always like this game of chance. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, holy, they got Mario Sunshine here. And you pull off the box art and then there's nothing. There's no copies of the game. And you're like, oh, God damn it. So yeah, every Friday, you're like, yeah, you're like, oh, man, do they have it? Do they have it this week? So and then, like, you're checking out, and they have all these, like, movie theater candies, all this, like, popcorn and all this stuff. Not freshly popped popcorn, of course, but
yeah,
they have all these little concessions, and it's just like, damn, like, I feel like, I just feel like I'm being treated well in this establishment. The vibe is right, and, you know, they're really doing wonders for me, for my childhood and for my gaming, I don't even know. My gaming memories as a kid.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if you plan on talking about this, but I want to know, what was your family's, like, you know, policy on, like, games, like, related to, like, Blockbuster? Like, what was your limit? Did you do one or two at a time? Or, like, was it just one game per week?
Yeah, I mean, typically, I feel like it was typically one game per week. I do remember, like, you know, very rarely I would get a second game, you know, so every now and again I'd get a second game. Mm-hmm. Like if I had a friend over, we'd rent two games, you know, something that called for it, but typically it was only one game. And maybe they were having specials so you could get two. I literally don't know, but yeah, I looked it up and I think they said to rent a game per week, it was about $8 for one game for the week, which not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. I mean, I don't know. $8 was probably like, what, $12 at the time? I don't know how inflation works, but...
Wait a minute. Like, like $12 like, in our time.
In 2020 time, $8 from like...
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know.
I literally don't know. So...
Sounds right, though.
$8 back then would buy about 10,000 Bitcoin, which translates roughly to about $10 million.
Of course.
So it's about $10 million to rent.
Wow.
but yeah, like our policy wasn't strict. Like, did you even have game rentals? Right? Because like, if you never went to Blockbuster, you said you rented one game one time. Mm-hmm. If you never went to Blockbuster, like, there's no other place to have that experience, right? Like
I'm trying to rack my brain here because obviously, like, I know that like, after the Blockbuster era, there was Redbox, but I didn't even...
There was Gamefly. I don't know if you used
Gamefly. I always wanted Gamefly so bad. did I ever convince my parents? I don't think so. I want to say, did Netflix have games too? Or am I like, no, those are just the movies. Okay, no, I definitely remember ordering movies from Netflix.
Yeah.
Huh. No, I don't think I ever rented any games.
Let me tell you something about Gamefly. Honestly, fuck Gamefly.
Whoa.
All right, I'm going to take it back. I'm sorry. If there's kids listening, I apologize.
No, fuck the kids, bro. Tell them like it is. Tell them like it is, bro. Fuck them kids, as Michael Jordan said.
So I have no issue with Gamefly itself, but just the concept of Gamefly, just the concept of like this outdated con- and I know it worked for Netflix. I know it worked for Netflix, but I don't want to have to send anything back, dude. I don't know if it's that 2020 vibe that I'm on, new year, new me, but even in 2019, your boy's not going to the USPS. And I know people are like, but Joseph, all you got to do is put in the mailbox, flip the little, you know, flag on the mailbox up, and they'll take it and mail it. I don't want to hear it. I really don't.
I hear you.
Like, the logic of like sending, like, Blockbuster, just like a library. They had a little chute on the outside of the building. You roll up with your mom, put the little game in the slot. There you go.
You're done.
You're sending it back home. It's over. OV. But like, now you gotta like, you gotta expect the post office. Like, then it takes a couple days for them to get the game. Like, who's doing all that?
Who's doing somebody all that? Out there in the warehouse.
What are we talking about? No, I mean, like, who as a consumer?
Oh, you were talking about who's putting these games like,
in the warehouse.
I'm like, I guess they got somebody in the warehouse.
I mean, yeah, somebody's definitely putting them back. But, like, there's something about the idea of mailing back stuff that it's like, I mean, that's like if you, I don't know if you probably don't do this, but I buy something on Amazon, I'm like, oh, shit, I did not want to buy this. I'm just like, well, I just wasted money. I'm not sending this back. Who has the time? Who has the time? Not me.
Not me. I mean, I did have the time that one time when they sent me a bed frame instead of a mattress. So I was like, I can't sleep on anything. So I had to.
Yeah, sometimes they force your hand.
But I get what you're saying.
I'll take the L. I'll take the L. But yeah, like, so sidebar on Gamefly. That's why Gamefly didn't really succeed or take off for that long. Netflix, you know, they had the sauce. And
I mean, Gamefly is still in it, though. I mean, technically.
I mean, they might still be running. They might still be running, but who has subscribed to Gamefly? Sending back games?
People who don't have control of their lives. I'll tell you that much.
What's the? Go ahead and describe the website to me real quick.
All right, so I'm looking at mobile.
All right, I'm on the website.
You on the website?
I'm on the website now.
All right.
They got Xbox 360 listed on here.
They still got 3DS and more, so that leaves me to believe that they have. Oh, they've got Wii. They have PlayStation 2. They got Game Boy Advance.
Well, let me tell you. This website design stuck in the last decade. All right, this looks like it was made in 2012. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Have some animations on the damn site. You know what I'm saying? Or become minimal.
They do have Game Boy Advance Video, All Grown Up, Volume 1.
Oh my god! So I had that. I think I had that.
You had that one?
I think I had that one.
See. I'm telling you, Gamefly. Don't
sleep. Does it have to do with anything, bro?
Don't sleep. That's all it has to do with it.
So you're telling me, who the fuck is running this website?
That's what I'm saying.
So you're telling me the website has what is this running? Java, Angular 1 or something? Like,
Angular JS.
I'm getting too in the weeds, bro. But I love how this is a podcast, but we're literally breaking down. Everybody go pull out your phones, go to gamefly.com.
Yes.
Everybody go to gamefly.com so you know what we can talk about. They're updating this background image on the main page. They're upgrading it.
I see Dragon Ball Z Kakarot in there.
We got God of War. We got that one movie with the kids that's rated R.
Oh,
this little black kid. Good Boys. Good Boys.
No. Is it
good? Is it Good Boys?
They got movies. Wait a minute.
They got text over the picture, so I can't really see the name.
Dang, I'm looking at a different image from you.
They got Spyro, the remastered.
Hell yeah.
Like, that just came out
a couple months.
Couple months ago. So somebody's coming. Somebody's updating this regularly.
Who?
But do they have web developers? I doubt it. How much money do they make a year? You know, this isn't going to cut it. So... Like, that moves me to kind of my last point here is, like, I believe it was truly a golden age. Even though GameStop, like, I feel like GameStop didn't slap as hard. in terms of the gaming oasis. Walmart was awesome because the electronics section itself was, you know, overwhelming as a kid, in my opinion. Toys R Us, literally the whole place is toys. So you're excited, the you know, the second you step into the establishment.
In the parking lot, bro.
Absolutely, absolutely. But GameStop, like, first of all, as a kid, I didn't go to GameStop too often because, like, mm-hmm. how often is your parents, when you're 8, 9 or whatever, how often are you guys actually picking up a game for full price or, you like, whatever? How often are you guys actually picking up a game? Typically for me, it was, like, my birthday mm-hmm. or Christmas mm-hmm. where I didn't go to the GameStop. So I'm not hitting up GameStop that frequently. Every now and again, once a month maybe, once every 2 months maybe. I'm not going to game. And second of all, GameStop has always been a small-ass store.
Very cramped. See the back. Very, yeah.
You can see the back from outside. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, and just like the setup doesn't like excite me. You know, maybe as a kid, you know, you're just excited to be around all those games, but it's just like,
it's a little dingy too. Not like, little, I'm not even trying dingy. To throw shade at you, GameStop, but you gotta, it seems a little like a layer. Did we talk about this before? Like, it's just like a layer of dirt. Like, I just feel like it's just on the cases or something, or
yeah, I mean, I don't know. And I, you know, GameStop held it down for years. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, who's, I mean, I'm all digital, you know, I'm in the Matrix. Oh. Ain't nobody going to no fucking GameStop no more. But they held it down for a few decades, for at least 2 decades for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're hosting midnight launches, but even it's like, who wants to do a midnight launch? I remember I went to the Halo Reach midnight launch in high school or whatever. First of all, we're all standing outside, you know, about 30 deep in this line to pick up this game at midnight. And they're like, oh, like, we'll have like contests. You could play the game early, like early, which means a couple hours or whatever. But, and you like, we'll have like a tournament. It's like, damn, I'm cramped. You know, there's 50 people. Like the line's going out the door. You can't, it's just like, this ain't the environment.
Yeah.
Toys R Us had Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments, and you know, they had all the space. I've never been to a Yu-Gi-Oh tournament, but I know it was popping. You know what I'm saying? Because they had all the space.
Pokemon events too.
Exactly.
Getting your free Pokemon, yeah.
Exactly. Toys R Us is the perfect place to launch an event. Walmart didn't do events. Blockbuster didn't do events, but it was about the environment that they gave you.
And you just GameStop, really needed the space.
GameStop was really slacking. Mm-hmm. And that was a long roundabout. That wasn't even my point. That wasn't even my last point.
What the hell was your point, bro?
My last point is, like, nowadays, 2020, how do kids get excited about games? Like, I know me and you, like, we're in the loop. We watch the corporate press announcements. We mm-hmm. watch the award mm-hmm. shows. We know where the hype is, like, where the news is going to break, all that good stuff. But kids aren't going to be looking at all that. Or are they? I don't know. Like, we're, like, there's no physical place for kids to get excited anymore. Walmart exists.
I mean, GameStop still, for a child, if you
GameStop
are,
is dying, though.
That is right? true. It Yes and
I mean, I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
While it is here, I think that, you know, kids will still be able to at least get some type of excitement. And not right. even, they don't even have to go in. That's another good thing about GameStop is that, like, they just, like, plaster all the new games on the wall, like, on the windows and stuff. So you're like, right. all right, bet. And then you just walk away. Easy.
But that whole concept of, like, the demo stations.
Right.
The whole concept of renting games, like, that's not even a concept anymore. Like,
that is true.
It's unfortunate. Yeah,
the kids aren't going to be able to try games the same way that they were back in the day, like, you know, with Blockbuster. So.
I mean, that to be fair, they need is Game Pass nowadays, and they can try whatever they want.
Bro, but a kid don't... Well, I mean, I was about to say, kids don't know what that is, but...
Maybe they do. I don't know.
They might.
I don't know what kids know, but I do think it's... Kids are getting a little hoed.
Yeah.
Kids are getting hoed, you know, nowadays in 2020. Just because I feel like a lot of the magic is lost in terms of, like...
It's dead, bro.
In terms of, like, the gaming experience and how we get games to people. It's all digital, which mm-hmm. I love as an adult, just because I've been through the struggle. Mm-hmm. I know the struggle of waiting in line for midnight releases. I know, like, you know, all that stuff, right?
And, like, as an adult, too, like, we have, like, that access. We have full access, you know, to
full access. We have money. We have all that stuff. Like, it's money's not a problem.
There's no limitations to us.
Exactly. So, like... It's fine with us, but for kids, like...
But for a kid, you got parental controls you got to go through. You don't have your father's credit card. You got to, like...
If I have a kid, like, well, how am I, like, there's no way to take them. Am I just like, hey, here's Game Pass. Just go ahead and read through some of this and just go ahead and hit download. And then about an hour and a half, you'll be ready to play. All right, son. See you, or daughter, see you later. You know, like, it's so lame, bro. As opposed to my mom just being like, hey, I'm going to go get some DVDs. You can go ahead and look at the games. I'm like, woo, running around, yeah. You know. Or they're like, hey, I need to pick up some toilet paper from Walmart. I'm just going to let you run loose. And I'm like, woo, go to the electronics section. You know what I'm saying? So it's sad, man. It's sad.
I'm ready to pour one out for the homies, though. The youth of this world.
Yeah. Yeah, pour one out for them. But,
let's get a moment of silence. All right,
I think that's enough. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good, you know, but you know, thinking back on it, mm-hmm. about the gaming oasis or whatever you want to call it, and just like the concept of learning about games through like physical avenues and things that are just not the internet and some aggregated place, man. Good times, man.
Back in the day.
Especially as a little kid. So, yeah, man. I mean, we'll see what the year holds. Everything will be streamed nowadays, so we'll even get one step further away from the blockbusters of the world and the GameStops of the world. But
yeah, the kids who are gonna like really benefit, they're not even born yet.
Absolutely.
Like they'll really see. They'll be like, "Wow, Dad, you had to go to the fucking store to buy your games? What the hell is wrong with you?
You had to use a controller? You didn't have the glasses that just, you know, warp you into the game? Come on,
you had to click on your computer screen and hit buy this game? Bro, what are you
on? You play games on your computer? Oh, no, bro. I just play on my robot butler. I'm like, oh, damn.
What's his name?
I don't know. Jameson?
Jameson. I love it.
Jameson. But yeah, man, that's all I got. So before we wrap up, I had a couple ending points here. One, I finished the second episode of the Witcher Netflix series. Even better.
I finished the first one.
Okay. The second one's where they introduced Toss a Coin to your Witcher, which is a bop.
They introduced what?
Toss a Coin to your
Witcher. Oh, Toss
a Coin.
Gotcha, that one.
Yeah. So that's a bop. I finished Resident Evil 2, Leon's story. It was fun. It got very cinematic in the last like couple acts. So I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. Really getting down to the nitty gritty of what's going on here. That was fun. Have you finished Leon's campaign?
I've not finished Leon's campaign, but I'm pretty sure I have seen gameplay of it. So my motivation has tanked to beat Leon's. Fair.
Yeah.
But what do you think about, are you going to do Claire's or not?
Eventually. I'll come back to it. Not immediately. I'm going to pick up Fallen Order relatively soon.
Ooh, nice.
Within the week, I'll start Fallen Order.
It's on sale somewhere. I think on Humble Bundle, 17% off.
My roommate has it. So I'm just
I say that every week.
Literally every time. Yeah. My roommate has it. So I'm not going to buy it, but I appreciate it.
I'll tell you next week.
All the listeners, Humble Bundle has 17% off a Fallen Order. So there you go. And then lastly, my last point is Sekiro needs to be beat by me sometime this year. Will it be within this month? Maybe not. But I'm hoping to get it done within the next 2 months. But it's so freaking hard, dude. So freaking hard. I can't beat him.
I believe
I want to beat it. I mean, I want you to beat him too. You know what I'm saying?
I might, if I feel like it.
Damn, that's pretty cool, man.
I might not, though.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty rad. It's pretty cool.
Thank you.
But yeah, with that, man, that's everything. That's everything I have for you today.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for offering your time to me.
You're absolutely welcome, my friend. You're absolutely welcome.
Now get out of my sight.
Ooh, chill out, everybody. I will, but just let me hit him with the ending spiel here, which is thank you all for listening to Player Player. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes and tell your friends about us. If you want updates about future episodes and giveaways, or you want to submit a question to the show, visit playerplayerpod.com or visit us on social media at playerplayerpod. Big shout out to Aaron Miller, as always, for the intro and music. Follow him at TheMillerChild on Instagram. You can follow me on social media as TheHoopMan. You can follow my co-host Arson here as LeakyLeak13 on Twitter. Or Arson Lockba on Instagram. And until next time, guys, keep gaming.
What about the giveaway, bro?
Oh, yeah. What about the giveaway?
Do we finish it? Like,
it's over.
It's over? Did the folks come through?
Absolutely not.
All right.
Absolutely not. So we'll find a different way to give away free money.
All right, y'all. In the future. Stay tuned. I hope y'all are listening.
Stay tuned. We got to get them listener numbers up so people will actually listen to actually take the money.
Hell yeah.
You know, there's 30, you know, there's a lot of people that listen and just decide that they do not want free money. So
what's the purpose of listening? What if they were just bots, bro?
Maybe they just like the content and they're just like, you know what? I don't need the money.
They just like us so much. Wow.
I'd rather pay you than have you guys give us money, which, you know, go right appreciate ahead. That, y'all.
I'll put my Venmo. In the description.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we'll get that updated soon. But yeah, we're signing off now. See you guys.
Peace.